to go or to not go. Acts chapter 21. A missionary couple once brought some African pastors to the United States for a big meeting. And during their free time, these pastors wanted to go shopping. The guest knew that, so he said, fine, go shopping. And so during these free time, the pastors went shopping. And even though it was a small town, the missionary knew that there was a good chance that one of them or more might get lost or needed assistance in some way finding their way around. So the missionary gave each pastor a phone number in case of an emergency. And in less than an hour, the missionary's phone rang, and the pastor at the other end said, I'm lost. Okay. So the missionary knew what to do. He replied, lay down the phone and go to the street corner and find out the names of the two streets and come back and tell me, and then I will give you your directions. And in a few minutes, the pastor returned and reported, I am at the corner of walk and don't walk. And sometimes we feel directionless in life, and we don't know which way to turn. Sometimes it even seems that there are no good options as to which way to go. And God often allows these crossroads in our lives so that we can learn to lean on Him for direction and guidance. Students who are graduating will have to learn to lean on God in their life as they come to those forks in the road. Decisions will have to be made. Do I take this path or that path? Some will be monumental, some of those choices, and will determine their direction in life for years to come. Like, what career should I follow? Whom should I marry? Or as basic as, do I refuse to forgive someone or carry a grudge? Today we are honoring those who paid the ultimate sacrifice with their lives. And part of the healing that takes place after a war is learning what it means to forgive your enemy whom you fought with in battle. Many soldiers had no choice but to obey the call and serve. Many gave their all. Others had choices. They came to that fork in the road. They chose to serve their country, and some of those gave their all. The choices we make in life matter. They matter to God. Is what we are about to choose in accordance with His purpose and His will for us? The choices we make matter to us. The choices we make have consequences, which will determine what our lives look like years from now. And even if we are mature, the choices we make still matter and will determine what our life looks like years later. Our destiny, everyone's destiny in this room today, is determined by the choices that you will make from here on out in your life, or the choices that you have already made and are affecting your life that may need to be corrected. The Bible is very clear on this matter. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. The choices we make touch others' lives. The choices we make matter to others. Our life is an intricate web of relationships. The choices we make have a way of reaching out and touching those relationships. If I make self-centered choices, my relationships suffer. close relationships can turn into emotional disconnects if everything revolves around me. If I make wise choices, it fosters deeper bonds. The choices we make in life matter to God, to others, and ourselves. The choices we make shape our destiny. In Acts 21, the Apostle Paul had a huge decision to make. He understood this decision he was about to make would impact his life, the lives of his co-workers, and the lives of thousands of believers that he has had influence upon. The decision was to go or not to go up to Jerusalem at the conclusion of his third missionary journey. Paul wanted to make the right choice. He received a lot of well-intentioned advice along the way. Many were more than willing to offer advice. We have all been there. When we need to make difficult choices, people will offer advice whether we ask for it or not. Even a very genuine prophet of God by the name of Agabus warned Paul about what awaited him in Jerusalem if he decided to travel there. And before we uncover the details of Paul's decision-making process, I want to focus on better understanding God's will in general, because this is a sort of a mysterious topic. What is God's will all about? How do I understand it? Well, let's begin to wrap our minds around that. I think a good 5-minute lesson in the theology behind understanding God's will is called for. God's will can be broken down into 4 parts. The first part is the hidden, concealed, or secret will of God. These are things known only to God and no one else. He's God. He knows a lot of things that he's not telling us about. Only God knows the exact second this world as we know it will come to an end, and he already knows that. But he has never revealed it. Only God knows the exact second of Jesus' return. Don't waste your gray matter on trying to figure out when that will be. God tells us only this: be ready always for my return. God only knows how, when, and where our heart will make its last beat. Someday, someplace, somehow, our heart will make its final beat. God is in total control of that. Only he knows when each of these events will take place according to his perfect will. But it's hidden, concealed, and secret. He has decided to keep this information that I've just talked about private for reasons known only to him. The second part is the permissive will of God. Our God is not a dictator. He has the power to force everyone to act and speak in very controlled ways. We get that. He's God. We could be puppets. However, as part of his permissive will, he allows each of us to make choices that will determine our destiny. Our choices can bring us into a closer relationship with him. That's a wise decision. Or our choices can distance us from God and make us want to hide from him. That's what bad decisions do. Bad choices make us want to hide from God. There's a lot of people who made bad choices in this world who are not in church today because they're hiding from God. They don't want to face the choices that they have made. They don't want to face the decisions that they have made. So they try to hide from God. That's unwise. Don't hide from God. Don't hide. Ever since Adam and Eve, including the Apostle Paul, we have been free to make choices. Each of us will give an account before God. Every one of us. we'll give an account before God of the choices, each and every choice that we make. It's sobering. Because of the permissive will of God, no one can ever accuse God of being unfair in sentencing them to hell. If someone ends up in hell, they cannot accuse God that God put them there, because they made choices all through life that put them there. Everyone faces spiritual choices in their lives. The most basic choice is to look up into the sky, see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and understand there is a creator. Peg, that is so true. Someone created all of this. It just wasn't poof out of the sea we walked. There is a creator. And not acknowledging that is a bad first choice. So those who ignore God as creator of this world are making a very bad first choice in the process of choosing their destiny. Persisting in that bad choice will affect their destiny eternally. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the first choice. There is a God. He's the creator. Seek him, and he will show himself. Making the right first choice will open up more opportunities to make additional wise choices, like trusting in Jesus, as Peggy did, to save her from their sins and to save her from her sins. Third is the stated, proclaimed, revealed, or declared will of God. I'm referring to the Bible, God's revealed will. The Bible is very clear about how God wants us to act, talk, and think. He is equally clear about what we ought not to say, how we ought not to act, and what not to waste our minds thinking about. How many anxious hours are wasted focusing our minds on future events that we have absolutely no control over? It's crazy. Very good. Boy, I don't even just forget that thing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. In Acts 21, verse 8, the declared will of God is on full display. Verse 8. On the next day, oh, maybe I do need to click this thing. Here we do. Okay. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Acts 21, 8. You might say, I don't see the connection between this verse 8 and the declared will of God. But it is right there in front of you in this verse. It actually jumps right off the page in the context of this passage before you. This part of the declared will of God touches all of our lives at various stages along each of our journeys. All of us have been there and will be there in the future. It alters the course of our journey probably more than any other if we choose unwisely and disobey God. I am talking about forgiving others. God declares in his word, we are to be known as those who forgive and not hold grudges. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, Ephesians 4:32, the perfect example. Remember Philip? Not the apostle, but the one who had a co-worker by the name of Stephen. It was that Philip. The Philip who watched a man by the name of Saul encourage his fellow countrymen to stone his friend and co-worker Stephen to death. That Philip. If you were Philip, put yourself in Philip's shoes. How would you feel to have your best friend and co-worker stoned by this guy? Would you allow bitterness and resentment to fill your soul? Would you be carrying a grudge and looking for ways to get even in your heart against Saul? Saul was not only, quote, his enemy, but, quote, he was the number one enemy of the early church. It's 20 years ago since Paul and Philip last interacted. As far as I know, it was 20 years. How would it go? Did Philip still have a chip on his shoulder? Did he hold a grudge that he couldn't let go of? Philip's pain was deep. It was personal. Which makes it all the harder to deal with. Could Philip forgive Paul? You know, some people even choose to carry a grudge against God and blame Him. They refuse to forgive Him for the bad things that happen. People blame God for their poor choices in life. People make bad choices, it causes them grief, and then they have the audacity to turn around and blame God and hold a grudge against God. How many families are divided because of deep and very personal pain that happened years ago, but is being carried deep in the heart? Children and parents. No one had perfect parents. But what happens to that pain in our hearts because of certain behaviors that our parents did in the best of their intention, but yet hurt us? What do we do with that pain? Siblings. Siblings. Oh, yes. Siblings fight. And sometimes those fights actually lead to grudges. And siblings don't talk to each other for years. Where does that go? How sad is that? See, choices matter. They determine our destiny. We face choices about what to do with our hurts. Throughout our journey of faith, we can choose to hold a grudge. That's a bad choice. And will veer your journey following Christ off the path. Or we can choose to forgive. That's a wise choice. And let go. We can choose to accept responsibility for our sins against another and ask for the forgiveness of others or not. The choices we make to carry a grudge, to let go of anger and bitterness and resentment, is a choice we make. Now, forgiving does not mean we allow ourselves to be victimized over and over again. That's not what I'm saying. It does not mean we accept others' bad behavior towards us. It does mean we let go of bitterness and anger. Holding a grudge is definitely not part of God's will for any of His children. It serves no purpose and will only hinder your walk with God, not enhance it. Good choice, bad choice. Philip forgave Paul for his behavior at Stephen's stoning. It was wrong what Paul did, or Saul. Philip understood that immediately. Philip also understood that as the Lord forgave him, so too should he forgive others, even Paul, and let go, because it serves no purpose. It's wrong. It's against God's will. It took Saul about 2 years and a light from heaven before he understood how wrong he was and seek God's forgiveness. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Colossians 3:13. According to verse 8, Philip not only forgave Paul, he even invited Paul and his companions to stay in his home. Only the supernatural, only the transformative power of the gospel could bring Philip and Paul together in a bond of peace. God can accomplish the same in our hearts, in your heart, if you choose to obey his declared will and forgive others as he forgave you. If we have a grudge in our heart that only we know about because we don't tell others about carrying grudges. If we have a grudge in our heart, today is the day, friends, to let go of that grudge. To ask God to forgive you of that bitterness and anger that you're carrying. And to make a change and seek his face and come to the foot of the cross. He died so that we might be forgiven. Why carry a grudge? Why hold on to bitterness? We have all been hurt. We have all been hurt. It's easy to carry grudges. But that's a bad choice. God's declared will tells us it's a bad choice. And if God says it's a bad choice, friends, guess what? It's a bad choice. It's a bad choice. Fourth, there is the guiding or directive will of God. God directs his children in the way they should go. This is the aspect of the will of God that Paul had to discern in his decision to go or not to go up to Jerusalem. The choice Paul was about to make would alter his destiny for the rest of his life. Choices matter. They alter our destiny. The choice Paul was making would alter his destiny. Totally. It mattered to God, it mattered to others, and certainly it mattered to Paul. How was Paul to know which way was right? How did he know which way God was directing him to go? To go up or not to go up? How do we determine? How do graduates need to determine which way to turn when we face those forks in the road? How do we know which way to turn? We all will make choices that will affect us. This is how it worked out for Paul. First, friends gave him advice. He didn't even ask for that advice. Often the advice of others, and certainly in this case, is well-intentioned, but it was very self-serving. Sometimes the advice of others is no more than self-serving. Those who gave Paul advice didn't want to see Paul harmed in any way. So they advised them, don't you dare go up to Jerusalem because we know what's going to happen to you there. We get that. People give advice to us and it's well-intentioned. But that's not enough. Second, a prophet of God. Now this is taking it up a notch. A prophet of God warned him that if he went up to Jerusalem, he would be carried away in chains. That would change anybody's destiny. Prison. One day you're a free man, the next day you're in prison. Talk about changing destiny. That was changing destiny. The word of God, that word from God was not self-serving, but very, very prophetic. Paul knew the consequences if he went up to Jerusalem. And that knowledge of that had to enter into his final decision. We need to remember, friends, this is so crucial because often we make decisions wrongly based on this one fact. We need to remember that the right decisions in life are not always the ones that avoid negative consequences. We in life want to avoid negative consequences. We want to avoid bad things happening because we think that has to not be part of God's will. But for Paul, that choice was part of Paul's destiny and part of God's will, his directive will, where he was directing Paul to go. So just because the decisions may involve serious consequences doesn't mean we don't go forward. There's more to it. Third, Paul was with and controlled. Okay, we'll get there. Third, Paul was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, that even being put in chains and being put in prison. Let me close with a word of caution here. Just because we feel that we should do this or that we should do that, we have this feeling, that does not mean automatically that it is God's will for us. Don't confuse my feelings with God's will, because they can be very different. So here are a few steps that we need to take and make along the way before we come to our final decision to go or not to go. One, now that we have the Bible, is what we are going to choose to do a part of His revealed or declared will? Second, have we talked it over with others whom we respect? Seeking wise counsel is wise. Third, have we prayed about it in an honest manner? And I really emphasize that we prayed. I hear so many, I prayed about this. I prayed about it. I've had missionaries tell, I prayed about going to the mission field. I prayed about it. And don't go. So we need to be very serious about this whole concept. I've prayed about it. I prayed about it. Well, here's my concern. Are we truly seeking to know which way to turn, or are we merely asking God in our prayers to bless the way that we have already decided to go? Right? God, I'm going to go here. Please help me go there. Please help me along the way. We have to be very careful. Fourth, has God clearly opened a door for us to pass through, or are we forcing one door open after another, without ever stopping to knock at a closed door? I was planning to return to Iran as a missionary. That was what I felt God's will for my life was for the rest of my life, to serve as a missionary in Iran. And I went to seminary and prepared years to do that, raised financial support. It took years to do that. And when I was getting ready to go, the Shah was deposed and that door closed. And God redirected me to Kenya. And it was part of His will. So we need to be careful about doors and decisions and consequences and knocking on doors. Fifth, does my mind have peace to make that turn and go down that path? Following these basic steps will empower us to persist down the path even when trials and tribulations come our way, because we're going to make decisions. If we go through these steps and make wise choices, then we're going to go down a path. We're going to choose a spouse to marry. We're going to choose a career. We're going to choose where to live. We're going to choose where to retire. We're going to choose how we're going to use our retirement. We're going to make all kinds of choices. We're going to, what to do with our Social Security income. How do we spend it? All of those choices, every dollar that goes through our fingers. God says we are stewards of every penny that goes through our fingers. How do we use it? It's no joke. It's choices. It affects our destiny, the destiny of others. So following these basic steps will empower us to persist on the path when trials and tribulations come our way. Because if not, we're going to begin to doubt or question our choices in life. But if we follow those lessons, we'll stay strong. So friends, I say this, stay strong. Seek the will of God for your life. It matters, and it will shape your destiny. Let's pray. Oh God, the choices we make, the choices we have made, are part of who we are today. Those of us who have chosen to follow Christ and be one of His have made a very crucial choice, because now we're part of the family of God. If there's anyone here, oh God, who has not yet made that initial choice to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray, oh God, that today would be the day of their salvation. Father, we know that we are sinners. I have sinned. Jesus died for my sins. He took my place. All those who ask Jesus into their heart, He has promised to forgive them of their sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart if you've never done that, and to save you from your sins, and to bring newness of life. And ask Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Right now, I'm asking you to come into my heart and make me a new person. Transform me. Give me a new hope. Make me a light where now I live in darkness. Jesus will do that for you. Just ask Him. Invite Him in. Ask Him to forgive you. And Father, if there's anyone here today, a follower of Christ, who's holding a grudge, who's holding bitterness and anger in their heart because of pain and hurt, God, that they would leave that at the foot of the cross before they walk out this door and release that pain and hurt from their heart. Give it to Jesus. That's why He died. He understands. He bore our pain. He bore our hurt. Forgive. And let that burden be lifted. If you need to talk, I, Eric, Mark, others will be here. Share with us. We're more than willing to spend time with you if God is dealing with you in any of these issues. In Jesus' name I pray. And we all said, Amen. Amen.